We begin tonight by reading Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. We'll also read the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 19. The sermon tonight is on the Old Testament cities of refuge. There are three main chapters in the Old Testament that speak of the cities of refuge. The one we're reading tonight in Joshua and in Deuteronomy, and then also Numbers 35, but I'm not going to take the time to read that chapter as well. So let's read two of the three tonight, beginning with Joshua chapter 20. This is the text for the sermon. This is the word of God, Joshua 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, in Shechem in Mount Ephraim, in Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. So far we read in the book of Joshua. Now let's turn and read the beginning of Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, we'll read together the first 13 verses of this chapter. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit it, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer, while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, insomuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt separate three cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee beside these three, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and spite him mortally that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of the innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. So far we read God's inspired word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God to us this evening is sharp. The word of God to us as a congregation tonight is flee to Jesus Christ. Every single day, flee to Jesus Christ. But understand that in the way of fleeing every single day to Jesus Christ, there is safety and there is deliverance from the avenger of blood. The word of God tonight is sharp because right alongside that exhortation to flee to Jesus Christ is the strong warning. And the warning is this: failure to flee to Jesus Christ results in one thing, and that is death. Spiritual death and eternal death. The word of God tonight is flee. Flee every day to the only place that we have hope, the only place where there is refuge, the only place where there is safety, and that is to the shadow of the cross of Jesus. The word of God is concerning tonight the cities of refuge found in the Old Testament. Actual cities in which people fled, and from that they found safety from the avenger of blood. But in these cities there is gospel truth, and the gospel truth is that in Jesus Christ we have hope and life. Call your attention to these cities of refuge, and let's consider the following 3 points. Let's see in the first place the avenger of blood. In the second place, let's see fleeing for refuge. And then last, let's consider the death of the high priest. The cities of refuge, the avenger of blood, fleeing for refuge, and then the death of the high priest. I'd like to talk generally at the beginning of the sermon about these cities of refuge. Generally speaking, these cities of refuge were cities to which one could flee if they unintentionally killed another person for safety. There were 6 cities of refuge appointed in Israel. The 6 cities of refuge were part of the inheritance that God gave to the tribe of Levi. In Joshua chapter 21, the chapter after we read tonight, after the one we read tonight, God appoints all of the cities to the tribe of Levi. They did not gain a particular separate inheritance in the land of Canaan, but they were given by God 48 cities scattered throughout the 12 tribes of Israel. And that was so that the Levites could do what they were called to do by God, which was minister on behalf of God to all of the Israelites in the land of Canaan. They had 48 cities in all. 6 of those cities were cities that were identified as cities of refuge. There were 3 cities on either side of the Jordan River. Prior to the conquering of the enemies in the land of Canaan itself, 3 of them on the east side of the Jordan had been appointed. And now, having conquered the land entirely, the remaining 3 were appointed on the west side of the Jordan River. Going from north to south on the east side of the Jordan River were the cities of Gola, Ramoth-Gilead, and Bezer. Going from north to south on the west side of the Jordan River, they were the cities of Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron. These 6 cities in the land of Canaan were relatively equal distant apart from each other. If you were to find a map and see these 6 cities in the land of Canaan. You would notice that they are more or less two in the northern on each side, two in the middle of Canaan on each side of the Jordan, and then two in the southern regions on each side of the Jordan. And what that meant, therefore, was that for every single Israelite in one of the tribes, there was a, relatively speaking, close city of refuge to which they could flee. To understand the purpose and the spiritual truth revealed in these cities of refuge, we need to begin by looking at what is identified in the passage as the Avenger of Blood. Notice that in Joshua chapter 20, the references that are made to this Avenger of Blood. Verse 3, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge, and this is what the refuge is from the Avenger of Blood. And then in verse 5, and if this Avenger of Blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hands, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And then the concluding verse of Joshua 20 is this: these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the Avenger of Blood until he stood before the congregation. The purpose of these six cities of refuge was to be delivered from the Avenger of Blood. And so that leads to the question of who is this Avenger of Blood and what was the responsibility of this Avenger of Blood? The Avenger of Blood was the person that was appointed to kill the one who was a murderer. God made very clear what His law was with respect to the sin of murdering another man. And His law stated that whoever kills someone, his life must be taken as well. Genesis 9, verse 6 states that very early in the revelation of the truth of God to His people. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. There was someone appointed who had the responsibility to avenge the death that took place. And now understand that this was not a sinful vengeance for something that happened to an Israelite. God warns against that in Romans 12, verse 19, that we not have sinful vengeance against our fellow believers. We all know that that very much is a possibility in our lives when we or someone whom we love has been wrong, to take vengeance in an ungodly way. That's not what this Avenger of Blood was called to do. Rather, the truth is that God is the one who takes vengeance, and we'll get to that in a moment. And the Avenger of Blood was the instrument used by God to carry that out in the everyday life of the Israelites, so that if a murderer killed another person, the Avenger of Blood had the responsibility to take the life of that murderer. Who that Avenger of Blood was the closest kinsman of the one who died. Strikingly, the word translated avenger in the text is the same word that refers to a kinsman or a redeemer, the one closest to the one who was killed, and their family had this responsibility to avenge the blood that was taken. These cities of refuge were places of safety from that Avenger of Blood. Because when someone died in Israel, the immediate reality was that it was not known right away whether or not this was murder, hate taken to the extreme of taking someone's life, or if this was the unintentional killing of another man. And while the avenger of blood may hear that the life of someone was taken, immediately he would go and carry out his calling to take that life of the one who killed another person. These cities of refuge were places for that man to go if he unintentionally killed someone in order for there to be safety. So if they unintentionally killed someone, they would go right away to one of these cities of refuge and they would enter into the city and there they would be safe from the avenger of blood until a trial was had before the elders and the congregation. A trial to indicate whether or not this truly was an unintentional killing or if this was in fact murder. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 19 one of the examples of the unintentional killing of another man. You're out in the woods hewing wood with another man and you're swinging your axe and the axe head falls off and it strikes the other man in the head, for example, and it kills him. If that was the case, you would flee to the city of refuge and a trial would be had, and once it was determined that it was unintentional, there was safety in that city. But the point of the city was that it was deliverance and safety from the avenger of blood. Beloved, this teaches us concerning the justice and the righteousness of God. Ultimately, the avenger of blood. Now, as we speak of the spiritual truth that stands behind these cities of refuge, is God. Not in a sinful way does He take vengeance. God never does. We do, as we know from our experiences in this life. But never is that the case for God. God is the God who will take vengeance upon sin that is committed against His holy and righteous being. And the reality is that it is not a sinful vengeance, but it is a just vengeance. He ultimately is the avenger of blood, and He does that with respect to every sin that is committed against Him. In the very beginning, He told Adam, "In the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." And God will take vengeance upon all sin, the fruit of which justly is death. And that's not just for people in the world out there as we look outside these walls, but we understand that God takes vengeance against the sin that all of us as sinners commit against Him. And so the question that we are posed with is, how do we escape that reality of who God is and what He does? He will do it as the righteous and just God. But as those who are sinners, how do we escape the certain death of those who sin against the righteous, holy God? And the answer to that is very clear. The answer, and the only deliverance that is ever found, is the calling that we have to flee to God. One who unintentionally killed someone, and we'll see how this in its reality with respect to Christ is so much greater in a moment, but let's go back to the cities of refuge. One who unintentionally killed another man knew exactly what he was to do. It was very, very simple. He knew that the only way for him to remain alive was for him to go to one of the cities of refuge. If he unintentionally killed somebody, like the example we used a moment ago, he knew that if he remained where he was or if he went back to his home, there would be death at the hands of the avenger of blood. It was very, very simple. Go to the city of refuge. Every Israelite would have known what these cities of refuge were and what they were for. We're reading this in Joshua 20, and it begins, "Speak to the children of Israel." Children of Israel knew at this important juncture in their history that these six cities were appointed for this specific purpose. Parents would have had the responsibility when they raised their children to say, "My son or my daughter, we live in the land of Canaan. And there are these six cities spread throughout this land. And the one that's closest to you is, take your pick. And this is what this city is for." The Levites who taught the people would have had the responsibility to make clear that all of the Israelites knew where these cities were and what these cities were for. And not only that, God even made it clear to them that they had to make sure that the path to them was clearly marked and easily accessible. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 19. At the beginning, it says this, "Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither." Prepare the way to the cities of refuge. There would not be any insurmountable barriers on the way to the city of refuge. They would know where to go, how to get there, and the way would be paved very clearly to do so. Upon arriving in the city of refuge, the one who unintentionally killed another man would be received into it. The doors of the city would have been opened. The elders would have met them there, and he would have stated his cause, and he would not have been turned away right away, but he would have been welcomed in to the city of refuge. There was safety. Safety as long as he remained in that city. And he knew that. He knew that if I stay in this city, I am safe from the avenger of blood who may attempt to take my life. The trial would be had, and if it was in fact revealed that it was an unintentional killing, he would remain safe only if he stayed in the city. And beloved, that's the important point here. As we think about fleeing to the city of refuge, in that city, there was safety. And now here is the corresponding very important point as well. And every Israelite knew this. If he were to leave, the fruit of that was death. Notice that in Numbers chapter 35, verses 26 through 28. This is not the chapter that we read, but the third chapter that speaks of these cities of refuge. Numbers 35, 26 through 28. "But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge whither he fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest." It was clear what they were to do. It was clear where they were to go. And having gone there, it was clear where they were to remain, always in the city of refuge. By means of these Old Testament pictures, God is teaching us the one to whom we are to flee. Go back to the avenger of blood, who takes vengeance upon those who sin against His righteousness and holiness. Where are we to flee in order to escape the avenger of blood and certain death? And the answer to that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, we read these words, "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Writer of the book of Hebrews there speaks of fleeing for refuge, for hope, when we do that. Clearly harking back to these cities of refuge in the Old Testament, and we flee for refuge to the hope, and our hope is only found in Jesus Christ. And why is it the case that we flee to Jesus Christ and to His cross alone? Because He is the only one in whom there is deliverance for the sins that we commit against God. God will have His vengeance upon those who commit sins against Him. His just wrath will be poured out upon those who are sinners and guilty. But in Jesus there is hope. Only in Jesus is there hope, because Jesus alone went to the cross and endured that just wrath of God that we deserve for the sin and guilt which we commit. Outside, beloved, of the shadow of the cross of Jesus, there is death, spiritual death now, and eternal death in hell. If you unintentionally killed somebody in the Old Testament, it was the absolute height of foolishness. The height of foolishness not to flee to the city of refuge. They knew what those cities were for. They knew that in that city alone there was safety from the avenger of blood. You were a fool if you didn't flee to the city of refuge. The way was clear. It's the height of foolishness for a man who hears, or a woman who hears, that in Jesus alone there is safety and deliverance from the just vengeance of God upon sin, not to flee to the cross of Christ. It's the only place of safety. It's the only place of deliverance for the sin and the guilt that we know we have committed. But in fleeing to Him, fleeing to the shadow of the cross of Jesus, there is hope and deliverance. How do we flee? We don't flee by putting on our running shoes and running to an actual city. We flee every single day by trusting and believing in Jesus as the only way of salvation. We flee every single day by getting on our hands and knees and praying to God, "Forgive my sin and guilt. I cling to Jesus Christ and His cross, because I know under the shadow of Jesus' cross is the only place that I can have peace, the only place in which there is deliverance from the just, righteous wrath of God." God teaches us through Old Testament figures these spiritual truths. But as is the case in all of these Old Testament figures, the figure never fully teaches us the truth of the reality. And that's why the reality, the coming of Jesus, must take place with the corresponding truth revealed in the New Testament Scriptures. We don't get the fullness of the truth just in these cities of refuge, but the cities of refuge, which are a picture, reveal to us the greater reality of the refuge that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's true for a couple of reasons. Think in the first place of the fact that in the Old Testament with the picture, the one who would flee to that city of refuge was not actually guilty of a sin. It teaches us deliverance from the avenger of blood, but that one who would flee there did so unintentionally. God made it clear that if you were guilty of murder, justice would be exacted immediately. And in that, the spiritual truth of the just punishment of sin was continually revealed to the Old Testament saints in Israel. But yet He set these cities of refuge up in this particular case. When someone unintentionally killed an Israelite, But in the end, they were not guilty. But yet we learn this spiritual truth. And the greater reality is this: we're guilty. We're not like the man in the Old Testament who would flee to that city of refuge for safety. We flee to that city of refuge knowing that I am guilty, with an insurmountable debt that I have piled up against God. But yet I flee, because in fleeing only to Christ, there is deliverance. And notice in the second place, as we think about the greater reality of this truth revealed in Christ, the one who would go there and find safety would do so for doing one thing, which was the unintentional killing of another man. We flee to the city of refuge, Jesus Christ, and we find safety and deliverance from every sin that we commit. The one who actually murdered a man, even in the Old Testament, couldn't go there. He would die. But now, as we think about the spiritual reality, understand every sin that we are guilty of, we find deliverance from the Avenger of blood in Jesus Christ. The greatest sins that we could ever commit, there is deliverance in Jesus. Deliverance from the guilt that is ours from that first sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Deliverance for the sins of denying Jesus like Peter did. And yes, deliverance even from that which one could not be delivered from physically in the Old Testament, the sin of murder of another man. And yes, there is a word to us as a congregation even with respect to that sin. Understanding the real temptation that we face, if it were the case that one were to become pregnant out of wedlock and be tempted by an abortion, or if the wrong form of birth control was used, resulting in the murder of an undeveloped child. Even for that, even if we are guilty of that greatest sin, taking the life of a human being, God, if there is genuine repentance and sorrow and fleeing to Jesus, there is forgiveness. And beloved, that's the word of the gospel to us tonight. I'm not going to enumerate all of the sins that we are guilty of, but that's the word of the gospel tonight, that for all sin, if there is a genuine heart of repentance and a true fleeing to Jesus Christ, there is hope, there is safety, there is deliverance from the just wrath of God. I say again, flee for refuge to Jesus Christ. There's one more part of the text that reveals to us the work of our Savior and the full reality of the truth of our salvation in Christ. One part of the text that we haven't talked about yet is the fact that one who would flee to the city of refuge would have safety there from the Avenger of blood. And ultimately, he would have freedom only when this took place, namely the death of the high priest. Notice that in Joshua 20, verse 6, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." There was safety in the city of refuge, but there was not complete freedom. It was only upon the death of the high priest could that man eventually take leave of the city of refuge and go back to his home from which he fled. And I believe the application of that is clear. The application of that is that it teaches us concerning the death of the high priest, Jesus Christ. Complete freedom, complete deliverance is only found in Christ. And here too we see the greater truth revealed in Christ over against the picture in the Old Testament. Yes, they had safety in the city of refuge, but they still had to wait for something to happen, for them to go home and to be completely delivered from the avenger of blood. They had to wait for the death of the high priest. The greater truth for us today as believers spiritually is that it's all finished for us right now. We flee for safety under the shadow of the cross, but we don't have to wait for something to come in the future resulting in a greater deliverance. The work is finished in the death of the high priest. Blood had to be shed in order for complete deliverance to be accomplished in the high priest, Jesus Christ, shed His blood for your sins and mine, so that we as Christians today, who know our sin and guilt, daily flee to the shadow of the cross, daily are confident that I have been delivered from the avenger of blood, daily free to serve Him and live for Him in our lives. Beloved, understanding our sin and understanding the righteous justice of God who takes vengeance upon sin, flee every day to Jesus Christ. Flee every day knowing there is safety, deliverance, and freedom. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word as it's revealed in the Old Testament, these cities of refuge teaching us about Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer from our sin and guilt. Help us daily to flee to Him, to find our refuge underneath His cross, and know that in Him there is true deliverance from sin and from guilt. Go with us now in the remainder of this week. Care for us in all that we do. And may this day in Thy house serve as our spiritual food, our spiritual strength for the week that lies ahead. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.